Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined a little bit early by Rich Rebar. I got another wedding, Rich. Wedding number 9 on the year. Traveling.
Where do people get married during football season?
You know, you come to find out a vast swath of America, they don't care, man. They don't care. Fall Saturday means nothing to them.
I actually got married. My 17th wedding anniversary. Shout out my wife is coming up December 2nd, but I wasn't doing this at the time. And if I would have been doing this at the time, I would have definitely altered my plans. But my wife wanted it not. She wanted to ensure it wasn't going to be like a hot wedding, to where like all the girls were melting and stuff. My sister actually got married in October, thinking the same thing, and ended up being a 90-degree day. And it was just, everyone was miserable. It was just, everyone was sweaty. Cause you know, you got all that shit on, your hair's done, makeup's on with girls. Like, and just, yeah, she just wanted to make sure it was like, she wanted to make sure it was cold. That's why she picked December.
I got married in August and it was pretty hot, but it could have been way worse. I think it was like 85 degrees. So we were sweating, but it could have been worse. I mean, I did make it very clear after getting, I was like, look, fall wedding, it's not happening.
We're actually celebrating our anniversary is rough now. Like just trying to celebrate. There's just no time.
It is what it is. And you know, speaking of rough, the NFL season, we're getting to that point, man. You know that feeling when you have a team that's pretty dead, but not 100% dead, that you still gotta, you're like, shit, I gotta go pick up the Commanders defense this week because I'm just alive enough to sit there. So we are at that stage of the year. For me, it's always when we get to write about Thanksgiving where I'm like, man, it is dark outside. I am tired. I am cold. You know, it's like nothing even really to do with work. Just like that time of year when it's dark at 5 o'clock and I get done working for the day and I got 30 minutes of daylight left. Let's take the dog on a walk and then go to bed, I guess. Anyway, that is a long preamble to say we're recording this early. We're recording this on Thursday afternoon. So if we miss something, if someone gets hurt, if there's a Friday practice report we miss, that's why. That's all I got.
Yeah, listen, you can't beat it. Yeah, I remember like last week, when we switched over, it was like 7:30. I remember telling my wife, I was like, it's like 10 o'clock, right? She's like, nah, it's 7:30. I was like, oh.
It's 7:30, yeah. All right, man. Number 5, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm starting off gross, man. I got the gross Jets, the scummy Jets at +7.
Oh, Reeves.
I know, you, man.
Dude, this is I have no footballing logic to go against this. Other than that, it doesn't fit the vibes. Like, I think this will be either the Bills win in emphatic fashion or McDermott gets fired on Monday. It's one of the two. Those are the only two possible outcomes.
I mean, they're 0-6 against the spread their past 6 games. The Jets have covered and straight up won 2 of these past 3 meetings. They've straight up covered all 3. They've straight up won 2 of them. I'm sorry. They just have structurally been a defense that has given Josh Allen, well, Ken Dorsey too, for maybe Joe Brady is the one that's going to lock this. But like, I just think it's a Bills win and the Jets somehow hang around and cover seven, man. That's really it. That's really it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that that is probably right. The Jets have, they're a horrible matchup for the Bills specifically because they have a guy to throw at Diggs. Like, they have a guy that makes Diggs' life so hard. They've done a good job with him. And without Stephon Diggs, the Bills have very little in the passing game. You know, just like I don't remember who, I've said this on every show, and I don't remember who originally said it. Some Bills fan who's mad on Twitter, I'm sure. But the last day one or day two pick, so the last wide receiver the Bills selected who was not a day three pick, Zay Jones. The Jacksonville Jaguars zone, Zay Jones. I think he's been on three teams since the Bills had him. Pretty sure the Bills waived him. But that's
the Raiders. Raiders. Yeah, the Jaguars. Raiders. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that's
they did
kind
of what the Chiefs did, right? Like, the Chiefs get, like, luck boxed into Tyreek. They obviously had Kelsey. And then they were just like, we're going to rest on our laurels. Like, we're just going to add defense and try to get the defense right. And they didn't, like, they went through that period where they just, like, didn't add any offensive players. Tyreek leaves, and you're like, oh, what do we have behind Kelsey? And you're like, we got nothing. And that's, like, kind of what the Bills did after they traded for Stephon Diggs. Like, they just, like, really didn't add much. And what's weird is, like, the pieces that they did add were, like, pieces that kind of don't really matter. Like, I guess, like, Kincaid does, like, you hit, like, the right move tight end. But, like, their never-ending search for, like, getting a receiving back, like, never made any damn sense. And they just, like, never really,
and they hate they spent a second round pick on Cook and they don't even like him.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. The Bills have done a good job of, like, moving Diggs around in this matchup, like getting him in the slot and getting him away from, like, Sauce, because Sauce doesn't travel. But yeah, I mean, I don't really think that they run the football well. They just structurally don't line up well in this matchup, and the Bills defense has low-key been the biggest problem, right? Like, I mean, obviously someone was going to be a scapegoat and they had already fired Leslie Frazier last year. Yeah. So the next guy up was Dorsey, but the defense is 30th over since week five in defensive EPA per play. Like, they aren't a good defense right now because they've had so many injuries. Yeah, and not that matters for Zach Wilson, but
it's, well, it matters for Breece, I guess, is the one that
Zach Wilson has thrown
for
240 or more yards in three straight games. It's the first time in his career he's even thrown for more than 200 yards in three straight games.
Well, they're throwing the ball to Garrett Wilson on 50% of their plays. So
ball dubs. Yeah, yeah, Garrett Wilson has been okay.
I saw our friend Ian Harditz tweet this earlier. Wilson is on pace for 104 catches and like 1200 yards, you know, still, yeah. Which is like, it's insane.
No, he just gets right. Like 8 for 90 every game. Like, it's like,
yeah, yeah. There's no ceiling, right? There's because there's no downfield stuff, like no accurate downfield throws. All right. My number five, you think yours is gross. Mine's even grosser, buddy. I am taking the Fighting Washington Commanders -8.5 points at home to the New York Football Giants. And you know what? I don't even actually think it's that gross. This version of the Giants, I think, is the least competitive football team. Can you remember a team that you felt less capable of scoring points when the opposing team was trying? The Clayton Tune week for the Cardinals was horrible. But it's like the Giants are the one week of the Clayton Tune Cardinals, but there's no Kyler Murray at the end of that tunnel. It's just, we got seven more weeks. I mean, Carson Wentz is a Ram. I guess they could call Flacco. The Giants could call Flacco if they really, I don't know, man. It's so depressing. What do you even do? I just don't even know what you do if you were a Giants coach. Like, it's not really anyone's fault that Daniel Jones and Tyrod Taylor both got hurt. Like, this is kind of like the emergency third quarterback thing that we did with the 49ers last year, you know, when they were down to Josh Johnson or not even Josh. Was it Josh Johnson?
Yeah, it was Josh Johnson, Bowl? And then he got hurt.
And he got hurt, and Purdy had to come back in with the torn UCL.
You just
hand
off every play. Yeah.
So it's not their fault, but the commies are, they'll throw 23 times in the first half. They'll get to 14 points, and then the Giants won't score. and the Brian Robinson's going to run for 120 yards and two touchdowns in the second half. It's just, I don't actually really, I guess Howell could turn the ball over twice, and that is how the Giants could cover. But that's it. That's really all I got.
Yeah, I mean, this Giants, it's down real bad, man. I mean, you're laying points at the Commanders. It's like the only kind of like the only way you could even come up with something, right? It's just like, hey, man, I'm laying more than a touchdown at the Commanders. Like,
with the Commanders, right? Yeah.
But this Giants team is that bad.
They are. It actually should not be overstated how bad they are. However bad you think they are, they're actually probably worse than
that. It's a bummer they didn't like have like the NFL doesn't have like cool outs or like where they could like have traded Saquon or done something, you know. Like it's a bummer that stuff doesn't happen.
The commissioner should step in. Like, you know how David Stern stepped in the way of the Chris Paul trade? He's like, actually, this isn't happening. Like Goodell should come down from his office and be like, you know what, Rams, you don't actually need Carson Wentz. Like, let's just go see what Carson Wentz does in New York for a month of the season or whatever. All right, that was my number five. What is your number four?
Yeah, we're staying ugly. I'm going with the Rams just for the similar reason for the Jets logic. Like, McVay has just kind of owned Pete Carroll, man. Like, and it's been constant, even with, like, this version of the Rams, like, the past couple of years. I mean, they've covered in six straight against the Seahawks. Week one, they just went to Seattle and dominated that game. I mean, the Seattle Seahawks ran 12 plays in the second half of that game.
Like, it was so bad.
Has something cooked up for this scheme. Like, and remember last year, and they didn't win either game, but they covered both. They had started John Walford and Baker Mayfield, like, in those games. And, like, I don't know, something about this matchup. And then you look at, like, the Seahawks last week. Like, it took, like, Geno Smith, like, getting, like, this, like, a crazy, like, luck box run of, like, yards after the catch to kind of get there for us last week in, like, a matchup he should have been getting there the entire time against that Commanders defense. So, I don't feel, like, great about the Seahawks offense where it's at right now. Like, even, like, being able to exploit, like, the Rams defense has waned from, like, the start of the season and kind of been more or less what we thought they would be with all their young players. But, like, the Seahawks offense, just something's wrong with them right now. And I do think McVay's going to be able to generate enough points here, you know, at home.
They just can't, they cannot score in the second half of games for whatever reason. Like, the entire offense just shuts down in the second half of games. So this one wasn't on my list because I just am such a Seahawks bag holder. I have like a Seahawk on every fantasy team. I just can't confront the reality that Geno Smith like might be a pumpkin. It's not that he's a pumpkin.
He's just very average.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, he is. All right. My number four is the Miami Dolphins minus 12 and a half points. Yes. Miami Dolphins against the Las Vegas Raiders. So the Dolphins, probably not the team you want against the Chiefs or the Bills or the Eagles or whatever, but against these crappy teams, you know exactly what they're trying to do. And it's like, they have this weird thing where their running backs and the way their run game is structured is so explosive that even when they want to be conservative and run the ball, they're still like, if Devin Achane is in here in the fourth quarter, like what dude's not going to score a touchdown. And yeah, Tua is just going to dice this defense up. He's going to have 320 passing yards by the end of the third quarter. It's going to be over. And the Raiders can't really score. Their whole plan on offense is just to hand the ball to Josh Jacobs, but I mean, they might be down 14-0 by the end of the first quarter. So I don't know how, like, Jacobs is like DFS chalk. I'm not that into it. Now if the Raiders cover, then he'll get there. But
well, sure. But like, when is like you, like, I was talking about this on a podcast last night. Like, when has ever like the chalk steered towards like a road dog of 12 points, like 12 points plus, It just seems crazy to me that, and I still think when we get to Sunday, he won't end up being chalk. Like, obviously if Singletary is starting and Achane is like about back and like all these things can like manipulate it, but like the initial optimizers are wrong on this for sure.
Yes. Yeah. They definitely are. But that one felt pretty easy.
Yeah. That one's my next one. I mean, the Dolphins are 5-0 against the spread as a favorite, 4-0 against the spread at home. They've already been a home favorite of 12 plus points twice and cover both games easily against the Giants and the Panthers. This is a spot
and the Broncos.
Yeah. But I think they were in that game?
I think they were a touchdown.
They were minus six. I was looking at it. They were minus six that game. But they were also -9 against the Patriots at home, covered that one as well. So like they are covering these big numbers at home, and they're like Antonio Pierce, like it's fun, but like we've seen this Antonio Pierce story like 1,000 times over our like lives in the NFL.
Oh yes.
Where like the defensive guy, like is motivating, like takes over for like a dude everyone had tuned out already. He's like in your face, wants to run the football. Like they beat the Giants and the Jets. Like congratulations. Like we know these things are always short lived in the NFL, and no one loves their interim head coach like the Raiders do. So I mean, this is, should be a spot where the Dolphins just run into no resistance out of the bye, like against this defense. They should be able to score almost every drive.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, like that's the entire
thing. Aiden O'Connell ain't scoring like 30 points.
No, it'd be nice if he got 30 points to Davante Adams though. Like if Davante Adams had 22 receptions in this game, Antonio Pierce, if you're listening, just like Davante Adams, I have a lot of fantasy teams that are kind of on the borderline that like I just traded for Davante Adams in a couple leagues. Like if we could just get 10 for 111 and a touchdown for Adams, sign me up for that. So that was my number four. So we on shit. We're already on
three.
Okay, that was your three. All right, I got another kind of gross one here, but I'm taking the Minnesota Vikings +2.5 points against the Denver Broncos as my number three. The first is, this is just vibes based analysis. I have never seen a team like the Minnesota Vikings with this level of vibes. There's a clip that went viral yesterday that it showed Harrison Smith purposely avoiding getting an interception so that his teammate could get the interception and you know, add it to his stat sheet. I'm like fully buying in on this Pastrnak stuff. The Broncos' success the last couple games also feels so fraught. It feels so goddamn fake. Like the stuff with the Chiefs is like, okay, Sky Moore gets held on this touchdown and doesn't score it. If he scores that, then
Mahomes is the flu.
Yes, Mahomes is the flu. You have Stephon Diggs like getting into fights on the sideline. We got James Cook. I mean, James Cook, literally his first career fumble, then he gets benched for two quarters for Latavius Murray. Like you just every little football is such a game of like, if you know, it's such a butterfly effect game where if one thing goes differently, our brains make much different sense out of the narratives. All this to say, I don't believe that Vance Joseph has completely recreated this Broncos defense. I also don't really believe in the Sean Payton has turned Russell Wilson into a robot, and that's a good thing. Like, it might be a good thing for them to get 8 wins a year, but it's not a good thing for them to be like a good team. I guess they're just riding out the rest of that Russ contract until, you know, Payton can do whatever he wants with that team. But I am buying all the stuff going on with the KOC Vikings and Leslie Frazier too, by the way. Leslie Frazier comes in, totally remakes this defense that is like one of the laughing stocks of the league last year. And they're not great, but they're pretty good based on what Leslie Frazier is having them do. And they're probably getting Jefferson.
Brian Flores.
Brian Flores, Leslie Frazier. Yeah,
I said Leslie Frazier earlier. Maybe you think he was actually the coach for the Vikings for a bit.
That's right. I actually probably just think they're the same guy. I probably just think Leslie Frazier. I mean, come on. I just dropped Vance Joseph. People are expecting me to remember defensive coordinator names here on the show. It's just, there's a great graphic going around right now about Brian Flores showing just how much the Vikings blitz versus every other team in the NFL. It's like they look like like someone made a mistake on the spreadsheet, basically, based on how much they are blitzing, which I don't expect Russell Wilson to stand up to this weekend. But that's not really, this is mostly a vibes based bet. And the vibes are, I would say 10 out of 10 for the Minnesota Vikings right now.
Yeah. Wilson's 28th in rating against the blitz. They play a lot of zone behind it. So it's mixed with like what Flores does, but like still part of the current meta. They play the most cover two in the NFL too. It's just like when most teams now blitz in the current NFL meta, like it's when you actually get the snaps, they play man coverage. Whereas like the Vikings are actually just blitzing all the time, but playing coverage shells like behind it. But yeah, I mean, this Broncos team, man, like they're getting away with a lot of stuff. I mean, Russ is, and maybe this is just how regression works sometimes in the NFL compared to other sports, because like sometimes like regression hits and it just doesn't make any damn sense, right? Like Russ had his lowest touchdown rate of his career last year, and like now he's just like he can't stop throwing touchdowns. Like, you know, he's what, 7 passing touchdowns over expectation now. He hasn't thrown for more than 200 yards in a game since week 4. It's just crazy stuff, man, the way they're winning these games. And I'm with you, though, on like the run defense is bad. They're kind of bend but don't break. Like they're still giving up a lot of yards. And so, like, I think it's been kind of fluky, some of the scoring stuff that their defense has done.
Yeah. All right.
I don't have that one on there, but I don't mind it either because I want to root for Josh Dobbs. They're getting Justin Jefferson back. Like
that's also the big thing is getting Jefferson back, I think, is like we haven't seen Dobbs play with Jefferson yet. I think that's huge. All right. What is your number two?
My two is, again, the Aaron Paul meme. I can't believe this guy keeps getting away with it, but it's going to be the Steelers, man.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. My God. I've never thought I would see the day that you would capitulate to Big Pickett.
I know. Well, I bet him last week. I had him on my list last week, too, and they held on against the
You know Bears. What? I have like a real vomit special here for my number two. But, I mean, look, I going against Dorian Thompson Robinson, I think that seems fine.
Yeah, I mean they've covered 7 of the last 8 games against the Browns. They've covered 5 straight as a road underdog as a team. So I mean Dorian Thompson Robinson was just so bad in that opening start. And like Pickett is not good, but like he's like a super game manager too. Like he's like not boning them, and that's all like the Steelers care about.
Yeah,
he's not boning them in the sense of like getting turnovers. Like he's boning them in the sense of not being good. But Dorian Thompson Robinson was just so bad under pressure against that in that first start. And like, we know he's going to get pressured here against the Steelers defense in that first start. And I granted, he's a low bar. He's going to be better probably with more preparation, but this Browns team is a lot better. They're down 2 tackles now, 2 offensive tackles. Like it's just, they're more banged up than they were when he started in that first game. He had 3 interceptions under pressure. He took 4 sacks under pressure in that first game against the Ravens. Like, it's just hard for me. Like the Browns are just down real bad. Like it's crazy. They went all in kind of on this season in terms of like cap space and where they allocated money. And like just everyone's gotten hurt.
Everyone's hurt. Chubb's hurt. Jedrick Willis is hurt. Deshaun Watson. Watson's out. Yeah. I actually was just talking to Eric Eager about this, about like, what do you do if you are, what do you do if you are the Browns, and he made this point to me. I mean, this is not related to betting on the spread on this game, but it's like actually the point where you're really screwed is when you keep kicking the can down the road, but the guy actually stops being able to play. Like if you kick the can down the road on guaranteed money, it's fine as long as the guy can be on your roster and can contribute. But it's like when you get into a spot where the guy stinks and you either have to just play a guy who absolutely stinks or have him on the 53, or because you can't cut a guy that you are owed the last 4 years of money too, because you kept kicking the can down the road, which I don't feels like inevitably where we're going with Deshaun Watson. I mean, I don't have any explanation for how this dude got that bad, because the last time we saw him with the Texans, he was still really good.
He actually, the second half of last week was the best he had looked on like, with the Browns.
I had the Ravens in a big survivor pool.
Well, I didn't have him in a survivor, but I bet I had him. We picked them on the show.
It was our number one. Yeah.
And they were cruising, absolutely cruising. Like, yep.
That Lamar interception was so not his fault, the pick six. Like, I'm all down.
It evened out, though, because the Browns, the first play of the game, Kyle Hamilton scored on a tip touchdown.
Yeah. That's a good point.
It just evened out. Ravens defense was a letdown, though, in the second half. I mean, you can't let Deshaun Watson at the state, like you just hinted at, go 14-14 passing.
Right. All right.
You're back on the train, though, about the Ravens tonight.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have the same number one. I already know. But my number two is real stinky. You want to guess on what it is?
I don't know. I had a couple stinky ones. Let me think. You got a real stinky one. I don't know, man. Are you betting the Bears?
Well, I did see. So if you just, this is kind of neither here nor there, but if you were in a pick'em contest, depending on what the contest software is on, I would check, because my pick'em contest has the Bears at plus 10 instead of the current plus 7.5. Mm-hmm. So just take a note on that. But no, it is the Tennessee Titans plus 7 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I am flummoxed by this line. I thought this would be your classic No one believes in the Jaguars, but they're the home team and the Titans stink. So -3.5, right? 7 to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Is this the same Jaguars team that has been playing the entire season? Like, I mean, Lawrence has not topped. I think this is a good barometer for his season. He hasn't topped 20 fantasy points this year. Like, they are, and you actually made this great point in our group chat the other day, that Travis Etienne is not having this incredible rushing efficiency season. He just is scoring tuds, and he's got a couple long receiving touchdowns as well, which are not going to filter through in those metrics. But, like, the Jaguars are kind of a mess, dude. I mean, they were supposed to win this division at a canter. They definitely are not going to do that. I mean, the freaking Texans might win this division.
Texans are live to win the division for sure.
Yeah, so the Jaguars...
They already won in Jacksonville.
Yeah, so the Jaguars' schedule, you'd think, like, oh, it's the Jaguars. Like, they got to play no one. No, dude, they play... So they got this game, which I think they probably will win, but the Titans... I'm a little bit of a Levis believer, and I have always been after the first season a Vrabel guy. Not in the sense that I think Vrabel is the guy to win you a Super Bowl, because I wouldn't necessarily go there. But he's definitely a dude who is going to coach up a mediocre roster into overperforming the sum of their 53 parts. I mean, that's literally what the dude was put on the earth to do. And I like Levis, too. I know he played very poorly last week, but I do like Will Levis. I think he's got real ceiling game-to-game, drive-to-drive, throw-to-throw. But really, this is about shorting the Jaguars. So this is the Jaguars' upcoming schedule. Road to the Texans. But they're going to be dogs in that game. They're going to be dogs in that game. They really will be. Then they are home to the Bengals, road Browns, home to the Ravens, and they got a easy game against the Buccaneers, easy game against the Panthers, and then road to the Titans in week 18. I mean, they might not get out of this unscathed. They might not make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, AFC is going to be rough. We just talked about the Steelers. Like, the Steelers, I mean, congratulations. You're going to go 10-7 and lose in the first round. This is your dream. It happens every year.
Successful season.
Congratulations. Because yeah. That's happening. Like, but yeah, I mean, AFC is rough. Like,
it is. It's very rough. All right.
I don't like it. I mean, they're underperforming, man. It's crazy. Yeah, it is, you know, it is wild that people don't realize, like, even from, like, a fantasy expected point stance, like, go look up, like, your expected fantasy points, and you'll be shocked, like, how identical the seasons Tony Pollard and Travis Etienne are having, but one has scored touchdowns and one hasn't, and one is thought as, like, the worst player in the NFL.
And they might be right. They might be right. All right, let's get it out of the way. Your number one -2.5-point favorites against the Philadelphia Eagles, your fighting Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, come on. This was made for us, brother. Made for us to be taking them in this spot.
On principle, I was on a couple weeks ago and they played the Dolphins and they were my number one. On principle, if you're getting Mahomes as a favorite laying less than a field goal, he literally has won at a 70% rate. I'm just on principle taking it. It just is what it is. It's just a process I will live by until it starts taking all of my money. So I have nothing against the Eagles. I love the Eagles. I actually think the Eagles are probably a better team than the Chiefs. Like, I honestly do.
Yes. One through 53. It's not even close, dude. 1 through 53. Give me the Eagles all day. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't. They don't
just
have
off of Andy Reid off of a bye.
Andy Reid off of a bye.
Just on principle, I'm just going to bet it and see and let things go where they may. This looks like an under too, which is a bummer. Because this game's on Monday night. It looks hot. We'll probably see Taylor Swift.
Dude, we're going to see Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift's parents, and the Kelce's parents. It's going to be, if you don't like Taylor Swift, do not watch this game on Monday night. It's going to be the worst time of your life.
What is it? 5 straight Chiefs games have gone under the game total. Because we've talked a few times. Like, their defense is good.
Defense
is actually good. I mean, they just, that game in Germany, like, that 2 weeks ago, like, the Dolphins couldn't do anything.
Couldn't do nothing, man. I was stunned. I was actually ready for the Chiefs. I thought the Chiefs could lose that game. You know, Tyreek all amped up. I wonder if you play that game again and Jalen Waddle doesn't literally get hurt on his first reception, if it's any different, or if Devin Achane was active. I actually think it could make a difference, yeah. But Man, it's so funny. Obviously, you can't build a perfect 53-man roster, but like probably the worst pass catching group of Mahomes' career with the best defense of his career. Like I guess it kind of evens out. But yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts. I got the Oklahoma University helmet behind me. I love Jalen Hurts. He is a great teammate, a great player, a great man. He can squat more. He probably can squat twice as much as Mahomes can, but. Yeah, on principle, not even taking into account Mahomes, Andy Reid off the bye. I mean, this is a gambler's best friend.
Less than a field goal, just got to do it, man. Just punch the ticket. We see what happens. I also think like you might be better off too. Like first half, Chiefs line might be even better because the Chiefs have this thing where they can't score in the second half now either. Like they're driving me crazy.
Well, yeah, they score on the opening drive and then they do a lot of punting. Townsend's making his money this year. Maybe the best bet
is Chiefs first half. And then you just kind of win the first half and you just enjoy the rest of the night and hope for the game's hot at the close, like the Super Bowl is.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. What a game. What a game that was. It was a great Super Bowl. All right, DFS this week. What do you got for me, brother?
Yeah, it looks like a pretty fun week. I mean, we don't have like a lot of like game on thoughts outside of that like Cardinals Houston game, which I think a lot of people are going to build around. Just a lot of
Arizona almost made my list, but I haven't made up my mind on this coach yet. Like I don't know about Gannon. I don't know what to do with.
And Houston's been really good at home, too, yeah. So far. So like it's tough. Kyler looked good though. Kyler passed the eye test. That's what we needed. I was talking to Shell like we. You know, if he hits that touchdown to Hollywood Brown, like the narrative around Hollywood Brown, I think is a lot different this week too than what it is. Cause everyone just sees the four targets, but I mean, he was wide open and that's like the one throw Kyler missed. But yeah, that game people are probably going to build around. I love Austin Eckler this week. Love Austin Eckler. He's had like a really tough schedule since he came back. He gets like a team that just got steamrolled by the mighty Pittsburgh running game for 200 rushing yards. And plus if Keenan Allen is like banged up or injured, like we saw the same story last year when their receiving core is all hurt, like Eckler just gets a ton of targets. Yeah. So I love Eckler a lot this week in DFS.
Man, QJ, can I interest you in some QJ?
I mean, we're going to have to see what opens up at wide receiver. It's like him and Guyton and Rondell Moore, and Michael Wilson, like those guys down there and like the sub 4K stuff. Although QJ, I think it's what 42, which is that's as close as you get, but you're going to see people like try to get the Guyton for sure. Man, it's crazy. We don't have that kind of value yet. We're going to have it at running back because everyone's going to play Devin Singletary again, I think.
Yeah, I'm gonna play QJ. I'm gonna play QJ. But I'm also
it's a matic move.
Yeah, it is. Well, I'm my flag plant this week is A-Chain. It's like the only time to get A-Chain at non-inefficient ownership is when you don't know how many times he's gonna get the ball. So
it doesn't matter. Because everyone got on me because I was asked last night. One of my like rules for fantasy football is like to be cautious on guys coming off an injury.
Sure.
But like I tried to explain like it's not me just like even like half stepping on that for A-Chain. It's like the whole premise of playing A-Chain anyways is that like you don't care about the because he wasn't getting a lot of touches to begin with.
Yes, you're not playing him to get Jonathan Taylor's workload.
Yes, and that's why I don't care. And that's why I kept talking about like him being priced near where Josh Jacobs was and where Breece Hall is. And
that's the big one. People have been asking me this week, like they have teams with Breece and A-Chain. I have teams with Breece and A-Chain. And I'm starting A-Chain over Breece in those spots. Yeah.
But he's right in that price somewhere. And then the people will talk themselves into probably Pollard again on DraftKings. I don't think Pollard is necessarily a good play on DraftKings. FanDuel, I think he's hard not to play. But DraftKings, like, you've got choices there.
Well, isn't that the thing on FanDuel? You always have choices, like, because everyone's grouped so closely.
Well, he's only 6'9 on FanDuel.
Yeah. Yeah, we found that out yesterday on the Swolecast. I was shocked.
But on DraftKings, you've got Mostert at 6'9", Pollard at 6'6", A-Chain at 6'6", Breece Hall at 6'4", then you got Jacobs at 6'8", who like optimizers are spitting her out now, but whatever. You got Kenneth Walker at 6'7". Like all those guys. And then people somehow every week are keep talking themselves into Aaron Jones at 6'2".
Oh, people might play him in cash this week.
He's definitely a guy people have gone, like, keep going back to the well on every week.
Easily true. I don't think I probably won't go there. It feels like there are too many good plays.
Yeah, and you know, his workload for even being like okay, like it's like what it is, it's very okay. He's only getting like 60% of the touches. Like there's just better stuff out there. And even if you take a guy with lesser workload like A-Chain, it's just you're getting more upside per touch anyways.
Yeah. All right, man.
That's it, man. I mean, we'll see what clears out these lat because we're recording this earlier than we do. So like we'll see what happens on the injury report this next day and a half.
Yeah, everyone's gonna play Robert Woods because Noah Brown is not in. Chalk Robert Woods because Stroud can make anybody good. It. Yeah. All right, man. What can the people look out for on Sharp Football this week? Got any we got
Sharp
promos
going? Analysis over there. Yeah, we're doing for everyone that did like free trial week and you know didn't want to sign up for like the big warm package. We're doing a thing that's take 60, so you can do 60% off rest of the season subscription. So if you do that, you can get rest of the season like worksheets and all my DFS plays for $45, and I can promise I'll get you that $45 back through there player props. Through player props and DFS, I'll get you that $45 back.
All right, there we go. You heard the man. Let's get out of here, everyone. Go check out Sharp Football. And shit, I will be back on Sunday. Well, I'm traveling this weekend, so maybe Sunday night, maybe Monday morning with Sammy and Nate. I will see y'all then. Later.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.